You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered.
Listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community and supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Carolyn Vandeweel. This is the Daily Local News for Monday, September 23rd, 2019.
Lotus in the Meadow. It's a collaboration with the IMU. So it's with a group called 47 Soul.
Uh-huh.
They're a Jordanian-Palestinian band, and they play this kind of electronic music called Sham Step, which is becoming very popular, very dancey.
And that was Tamara Lowenthal, the new executive director of the Lotus Arts and Education Foundation. She speaks with Big Talk's Michael Glab about the Lotus Fest on this week's edition of Big Talk Extra later in the program. Also coming up in the next half hour, Ken Farrell talks about volunteering with the Campus Children's Center on Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community. But first, hundreds of students and residents converged last Friday as part of a global climate strike. Organizers want to kickstart efforts to end fossil fuel use in a time of urgent climate crisis. Locally, climate strikers pushed the city of Bloomington to up its game and to take the lead in the state. Climate strikers gathered first at Indiana University's Dunmeadow, then proceeded to the mayor's office to present a list of demands, including asking the city to officially declare a climate emergency. WFHB's correspondent, Cindy Foreman, was with the local strikers in Dunmeadow.
What I wanted to talk to you about today is the fact that climate change did not begin in the 20th century. It did not begin when we discovered a hole in the ozone in the 1980s. It did not begin when white scientists gave the name that we now know as the Anthropocene. It began with the European invasion in 1492. Climate change has always been a reality for indigenous communities. When white settlers came to this country, they stole the land. They brought with them a foreign concept of private property that did not exist in indigenous communities. They brought with them the mentality that the land was something that could be monetized, mined for capital under the brutality of slavery, and that they could hold dominion over the land and over the creatures that inhabited it. My people and my cousins, my ancestors and their descendants, they understood that the land was a gift, that humans were not at the top of the food chain. They were not here to inherit the earth. My people understood that the land was a gift and that we were here to live in harmony with it.
That was Ryan Rousseau speaking to the people of all ages that have packed the streets of Bloomington to demand climate justice. They gathered not only to recognize the global crisis, but to recognize the local one as well. Ron Kadish gives us some examples of immediate actions people can take to start helping our city's movement.
People can take steps to lessen their footprint by using less motorized transportation, ride bikes and walk and take the bus and all that kind of stuff. I also think, you know, step it up on recycling. You know, recycle everything you can possibly recycle. And, you know, talk to people and try to convince them to do the same.
Each individual can play their part, but there's still a strong demand for the city to make more changes. We hear from Thomas Stagley, Ryan, and Kate about what they want to see from the city to reach a net zero carbon waste by the year 2040.
I think that they really need to be paying attention to who they get their money from, both in campaign contributions and donations to various projects around town. I know are often funded by large corporations trying to offload some of their responsibility and avoid being seen for who they really are, which is important that we do. We need to recognize what they look like and what their nefarious activities really are without having that covered up by goodwill attempts at PR.
My name is Ryan. I would like to see lower emission electric buses.
as an alternative to traditional public transport. Public means of public transportation, I feel like, is the best way to do it. Even sectioning off parts of downtown and designating them walk-only zones, carbon taxes for driving in the center of the city, things like that.
I would agree with everything Ryan said, as well as just getting rid of the scooters in general. I think that they're a massive waste of electricity and a hazard to the students and the local community.
With an important election coming up soon in 2020, Maddie McCarthy said she will definitely be voting based on candidates' views on the climate. But what she really wants to see first is...
Like just to acknowledge that it's actually a huge problem. Because right now the policy is just kind of ignoring and pretending like everything's fine.
Well, now, which side are you on? Which side are you on now? Which side are you on? Storm surge and fires rage, but you don't hear the call. Storm surge and fires rage, but you don't hear the call. Cause fossil fuels keep paying you, does it weigh on you at all? Cause fossil fuels keep paying you, does it weigh on you at all? Does it weigh on you at all?
Does it weigh the people's on demands were delivered to Mayor John Hamilton at City Hall by 7th grader Maddie Waters. It was a day of inspiration and demanding change to save the planet. For WFHB, I'm Sydney Foreman.
Outside the mayor's office, strikers asked Hamilton for a 50% reduction in emissions citywide by the year 2040 and that a plan be developed for reaching net zero by 2040. In addition, climate strikers asked for a 60% increase in urban tree coverage, with 40% dedicated to fruit-bearing trees. Also included in their demands, a request to increase funding for public transit, sustainable housing, and the local food economy. After the climate strike, Mayor Hamilton told WFHB correspondent Sarah Vaughn, the actions of individuals are equally important as those the city may take.
Look, the city needs to be doing more of everything. And when I say city, I don't just mean city government. I mean all of us. This city, we now have a sustainability plan, the first one we've ever had, that really sets goals, first some short-term goals by 2023 for climate results. But they're not just for city government, they're for our whole community. You know, city government is about 10% of the total greenhouse gas emissions in our community, and most of that's from our water system, delivering water, pumping water, cleaning it up, and all that. And so we're working on that water system. But to do what we need to do for climate, and I'm so proud of the hundreds of people who stood up to say we need to take that action, it's not just city government. It's residents, it's commuters, it's workers, it's all our institutions working together to figure this out. It's a big lift. It's a critical if we are in a climate emergency, and the city government, we are a strong partner in this. One thing I did think of today is we got big elections coming up in the next 12 months, and knocking on doors, if we can get all hundreds of us to go knock on doors and try to change national and state political leadership, that's really important too.
Fresh on the heels of the climate strike, the city of Bloomington announced today that it has won the 2019 Governor's Award for Environmental Excellence. The city won the award in the Greening the Government category. The Indiana Department of Environmental Management presented the award to the city at an annual pollution prevention conference on September 18th. According to the press release, the city was specifically commended for its efforts to increase renewable energy, divert waste, and for its 2018 Sustainability Action Plan. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Carolyn Vandeweel. The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com. Tamara Lowenthal was named executive director of the Lotus Arts and Education Foundation in May. This week, she'll oversee the first Lotus Fest of her tenure. One of Bloomington's signature events, the Lotus Festival brings musicians, dancers, and performers to Bloomington from all over the world. Lotus Fest was named for Americana musician Quentin Lotus Dickey, as well as for the iconic flower. The World Music and Arts Festival began in 1994 and draws thousands to venues around town every year. Lowenthal joined host Michael Glab on last week's Big Talk. The conversation continues on today's edition of Big Talk Extra.
Bloomington and Lotus, joined at the hip.
That's the way I feel. That's the way I think about it, yes.
So it's coming up, starts Thursday, September 26th, with a kickoff concert at the Buskirk Chumley Theater. Now, you're going to correct me if I'm wrong. There is a gamelan orchestra called Sudamani.
It's Sudamani.
Sudamani. They're from Bali.
They're from Bali.
You get acts from all over the world. How do you get them?
How do we get them? Well, we work with a consortium of other presenters in the Midwest. Not only the Midwest. In fact, we work with one in Albuquerque. But that consortium goes to conferences, world music conferences, to look for bands who are touring, because they have to be touring already. It's really hard to bring somebody over that's fantastic for just one festival, for one act. But if you can work with other presenters to bring an act over, then you can help them get visas, and you can help them get enough work that they won't have their withholding. So that's how we do it.
You're saying you help them with visa and all the State Department stuff?
Well, we personally don't do that anymore. We did do that.
No kidding.
We did do that in the early thousands, late 1900s, because we were one of the first world music festivals to start. Many people look to Lotus as one of the early examples of a true world music festival.
You mean one of the first in the nation?
One of the first in the nation. And so a lot of people think of us as the granddaddy or the grandmama.
That's me.
Of this world music. There were a couple of others, but we were one of the first. And for that reason, Lee Williams, back when he was starting this organization, he did have to write for visas, apply for visas. Now, I will tell you that the process in the 90s was easier than the process in the late 2010s.
As we know, after 2001, yes. Right. That show, these Balinese people.
Yes.
There are dancers involved.
There are dancers. In fact, it's I think of it as a theater performance, not just a musical performance. So often we have a musical band or two bands that divide the concert at the BCT. But with Sudamani, we're getting one amazing group of dancers, musicians. There's a really strong visual aspect to the way the dancers are dressed.
Yeah.
In the costuming and the choreography is really amazing. So I think it's going to be a really powerful opening concert. But it's not the only thing happening on Thursday night.
There's another thing right after that, right? What is it?
It is Lotus in the Meadow. It's a collaboration with the IMU. First time we have this collaboration going, so we're really excited about it. So it's with a group called 47 Soul. They're a Jordanian-Palestinian band, and they play this kind of electronic music called Sham Step, which is becoming very popular, very dancey.
Yeah.
And you know where that's going to be?
Where?
In Dunmeadow.
So that means it's free.
It will be free.
The Sudamani show is not free. It's
ticketed.
At the Buskirk Chumley Theater. Anybody interested in tickets? Now, you know we can't talk about prices, things like that. We're nonprofit.
Because I would have to look at it anyway.
Anybody interested in going to this thing, go to lotusfest.org. Very simple.
Right.
And they have a ways to get tickets there, and
right.
you can
tickets
get
are
the
actually,
whole schedule.
I will say tickets are for sale at the BCT box office.
Uh-huh.
To find out the whole layout of the weekend, it's good to go to our website.
Well, that's because 27 separate acts at 12 different venues, mostly around and in downtown Bloomington.
That's true. And one way to think about the acts is, or the venues is, it's not just the downtown venues during the heavy Friday, Saturday nights. We have the concert, of course, BCT Thursday night, we have Dunmeadow. We have Lotus in the Park, which is also free programming for families, but actually for everybody. It's for everybody, but it's particularly family-friendly. We have a collaboration with FAR, FAR Center for Contemporary Arts. You know, FAR stands for Fourth and Rogers, right?
Yeah.
But we have Frontera Boogaloo doing a workshop, a lecture demo there at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning of the weekend. It's free.
Lotus Fest is one of those things that defines this town.
I think that it does. And I know the Visitors and Conventions Bureau sometimes holds Lotus Festival up as one of the beautiful events that happens in town. I mean, we have a special town. There's so many, 4th Street Festival of the Arts. There's so many beautiful things that happen here, but Lotus is definitely a defining event for September.
The organization needed an executive director.
Yes.
When you heard that, did you say, ooh, I got to get in on that?
Oh, I think it was a slow realization. Sunny Fast did a fabulous job of running Lotus.
Prior to you.
Prior to me. And I'd certainly grown up next to Lee. Lee and I are about the same age, Lee Williams, and we'd worked together for many years making the festival happen. And I was not sure if this was the right moment. How does one ever know?
Yeah.
But I did feel as if I had a lot of knowledge that I didn't want the organization to lose, and I felt that I could give that knowledge to the organization. And so I won't say it was like, of course I should apply. I think it was more a gradual dawning that, especially as the process unfolded, that I could bring some benefits to the organization. I will say that on the other end of it, I feel as if you asked me how I feel. I think there's been a huge learning curve for me.
Sure.
Coming in, I'm very glad that Sunny is not too distant, that I can contact her and meet with her and ask her questions.
Yeah. Help!
We had an interim director for a few months, Denise Lessau, and she was invaluable in helping understand just some of the functions of executive director for me. But
But
here I am, you know.
You're making it, and the big highlight of the year, you're on top of it. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
What are you looking forward to?
So the first thing, I'm trying to be circumspect, meaning how much will I get to see? I was warned that, oh, you really like the music. That's why you're in this organization. But don't expect that you'll see all this music. You might be putting out fires. So I'm going, all right, be prepared to put out fires. You may not see as much as you would like. So having said that, there's a bunch of bands. I mean, I'm really looking forward to Sudamani, as I said, because the level of theatrics of that performance are just unparalleled to things we usually do at Lotus. We can't get that size. You know how many people are in that band?
How many?
18.
Wow.
That's huge. That's a full stage, right? So it's a real production. But
and they will be at the Buzzkirk.
And they will be at the Buzzkirk.
Because there's room there, huh?
Because there's room there.
Yeah.
Like in terms of all the aspects we want for performance, lighting and staging and wings, the Buzzkirk Chumley is our place to go. So outside of that, there are several bands I'm really looking forward to. One is Le Vent du Nord.
Uh-huh.
They were here in 2003 or 4. A long time ago.
Uh-huh.
Haven't seen him since.
Thursday, September 26th through Sunday, September 29th, Lotus Fest.
And you've been listening to Tamara Lowenthal speaking with Big Talk's Michael Glab. Full episodes of Big Talk air Thursdays at 5:30 p.m. right here on WFHB. And support for WFHB comes from Lauren Wood Builders. Lauren Wood Builders is a family-owned company that sources local materials and local craftsmen to minimize environmental impact and sustain community. More information is available online at laurenwoodbuilders.com. And now it's time for Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community.
Welcome to Activate, featuring audio profiles of local volunteers who stand up for what they believe in, spark change, and create meaningful impact in our community. We invite you to get to know some of these volunteers through their inspiring stories of service.
Hi, my name is Ken Farrell, and I volunteer with the Campus Child Care Center, with specifically the two-year-olds. Well, it's run by the university. There's a lot of IU parents, either grad students or professors, and it's open to the public. My wife, Teresa, works there as a teacher's aide, and so I used to drop her off, and I would go by the playground as I was leaving, and I would say hi to the kids. And then Machuru, who is sort of the coordinator of the intergenerational volunteer program, asked me if I'd be interested in coming in. And so I'm dealing with kids who are two, just turning three. It's interesting because it's popular in Europe, where, in fact, they have sort of homogenized elder care with child care. Apparently, it's healthy for both ends of it. So I know it's healthy for me. And yeah, I enjoy it. It's a great thing for me because my kids are in Vermont. So I get to see these little ones. And I get to play with them in terms of their imaginations the way that I used to with my kids. I mean, there's absolutely no screen stuff going on. These kids are using their imaginations and the toys that they have in this room, and there'll be four or five of them, depending on what's going on in the room, and we'll be reading a book. And they have these books, some of them memorized, you know, so I just get a kick out of not saying the last line and them filling it in. And, you know, it's just, it's a lot of fun. And that's, you know, so my selfish reasons are it's fun for me, and I think that I'm doing something good. I did one day bring my dog, Rhubarb, and we had fun outside in the playground. And I had to keep her on the leash, but there were a few kids there that had dogs at home and a few that never have been that close to a dog. So there was I could see a breakthrough. I felt that, you know, as we've gone on, they've sort of opened up a little bit more than they were before about certain things. And, you know, they know my name, and they're out on the playground when I leave, and they're at the fence, and they're saying, "Bye, Ken, bye." And, you know, "Where's Rhubarb?" And I have to bring Rhubarb again. Yeah. Anyway, the teachers always thank me every week if it's just putting boot on or finding a sock or getting kids ready to go outside. Because it's a lot, 10 kids, two people, with all these different schedules, and some kids can't eat this, and other kids can eat everything, and if you see the kid with a thing in its mouth, then you got to get that away from him. Anyway, I've had a couple of parents say that their little one has really had fun while I'm there, and so that feels good. I would love to encourage other people of my generation. And I think that, you know, other folks could get in touch with the campus children's child care center and talk to Michuru and see if they want to be a part of this. It's just so affirming, you know, to have time with these beautiful little creatures. Well, thanks for listening. I'm Ken Farrell, and I volunteer with the campus child care center, and specifically their intergenerational program. Thanks again.
You've been listening to Activate, a co-production of WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to inspire, engage, and connect individuals to their community. Listen to episodes of Activate online at WFHB.org. You can read more about the profile, see photos, and connect to featured organizations and causes. And visit BloomingtonVolunteerNetwork.org to discover even more opportunities to serve, give, and advocate. Get inspired. Inspire others. Activate in your community. For WFHB Community Radio and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Sarah Vaughn and Sydney Foreman. The feature was produced by Michael Glab. Activate is produced by Lucy Shake from the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network. Engineers today were Harrison Wagner and Sydney Foreman. And our theme music is provided by Ben Lumsdaine, Scott Schmadke, and Danny Graff. The Daily Local News is a production of WFHB Community Radio. You can hear tonight's full broadcast, as well as all other WFHB news programming online at WFHB.org. For WFHB, I'm Carolyn Vandeweel. And you can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news at WFHB.org. And stay tuned for Kiteline, a program amplifying the voices of those within Indiana's prison system coming up next on WFHB.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB Bloomington Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news@wfhb.org. You can become a Daily Local News volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. You can find an archive of past shows and individual news reports online at wfhb.org and catch live broadcasts of the Daily Local News Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. We are local, longer.